hearts will bring forth bread that we can live on. And I ask you to bless us. Let us hear what your Spirit has to say. And Father, I ask you to help me say what I feel you want me to say. I need a little help this morning to make this clear. So I ask you to help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, in the center of the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest message ever taught, we find prayer. It was interesting to me as I actually counted up the verses in the Lord's Prayer and divided it by two, that the dead center of the prayer is concerning prayer. The dead center of the message, the Sermon on the Mount, is concerning prayer. And then, more specifically, there's the Lord's Prayer, or what's called the Lord's Prayer, and it is the Lord's Prayer, and that it was his technique of praying. In Luke 11, they saw him praying, the disciples saw him praying, and they said, "Teach us to pray." And so he did. He showed them how he prayed, and here this is sort of recorded for us as well as he's teaching this Sermon on the Mount. So it's the Lord's Prayer, and then right in the center of the Lord's Prayer, we come to this verse that we look into today. Give us today our daily bread. So, what I want to do is I want to read this passage, but I don't want to just read that verse. I want to get a little context before it and see something and then try to go from there. So, I'm going to be reading in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 through 11. So, let's read this. "And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of what? There are many words. They're talking a lot. They're making, explaining to God why they need what they need. Matthew 6:8 says, "Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, please, God, I beg you, I am nothing but a maggot here on earth, and I need you to please, if you just can drop me just a little crumb of bread, I'll be so thankful for it." You're giggling. What's the matter? Did I read it incorrectly? What does it say? Give us today our daily bread. But most often, as we allow this prayer to be our guide to praying to Father and talking to Father about things that Jesus told us that we needed to talk to Him about, when we come here, that's kind of how we do it. We start asking God, and sometimes begging God, and sometimes justifying to God why we are talking to Him and asking Him for what we're asking. Now something's wrong. Because Jesus has just told us not to do that. Did He not? He said, don't do like the pagans. Don't start babbling off and trying to justify what you're talking about and making God change His mind and get on your side. And, you know, don't do that, He says. But yet, most often, and on most occasions, that's exactly what we do. So something's wrong. Something's wrong with the way we are understanding this passage. Now, if I'm successful today in communicating what I have begun to see over the past couple of weeks concerning this passage, if I'm successful in communicating to you today what I want to, we're going to see why prayer works sometimes and sometimes it doesn't. How many of you have ever experience that? Sometimes it seems like you pray and God just moved, and then there was other times when you prayed and nothing happened. Is that anybody in here besides me? Thank you. So if I'm successful, we'll understand that. We'll also understand better why Jesus was so successful in His prayer life. What would you say the percentages of Jesus' prayers answered were? 101% maybe? We're going to see why that happened. And we'll also get a handle on what we can do to greatly improve our percentages of answered prayers. So that's if I can successfully communicate what I want to, that's what we'll accomplish today. How many is ready to get started? Yeah, that's good, huh? So let's see what we can do here. All right. So I want to first talk about today. He said, "Give us today our daily bread." I want you to know that Father is concerned about far more than you're dying and going to heaven. Hear me. He didn't come to give you abundant death. What did he come to give you? Abundant life. And Father is far more concerned about things than you realize that he is. He wants you to have an abundant life. And he daily wants you to have an abundant life. And he thinks about your abundant life daily. Give us today our daily bread. Is that not what Jesus said? He already knows what you want before you ask. He's already thought about it. He's already thought about what you need and what you want. And what he wants to do is give it to you. He's already thought about it. Jesus' motto in life was that life should be abundant. He says, "I didn't come to give you abundant death. The thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I come to give you life, and that more abundantly." So Father's not interested in only going to heaven when you die. He wants you to have an abundant life right now. Every day, Father thinks about you and what you need and what you want. So it's not that he's not thinking about it, and it's not that he's not aware of it, and it's not that you even have to tell him. There's another deal happening. There's another little problem that I really want us to get a handle on. And then he says, "Give us today our daily bread." Now, the Lord used bread to make his point. But to the people to which he spoke, bread didn't mean just bread. Bread didn't mean just a loaf of bread with, you know, flour, the barley flour, the wheat flour, made into a cake. That's not what life, what bread meant when to those people on the mount that day. Bread to them represented the staff of life. When bread was said, it meant life and the staff of life. Ezekiel speaks a lot about the staff of life. Just give you some scriptures rapidly. Ezekiel 4:16, 5:16, and 14:13. Those were scriptures that Ezekiel mentioned. And I want to read one of them to you. I want to read one passage in Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 16 through, just verse 16. And I want to read it in two verses, two translations. First of all, the King James Bible says, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread. I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem. And they shall eat bread by weight and with care, and they shall drink water by measure and with astonishment." Notice now that he said, "I will break the staff of bread." Now look at the NIV Bible and see what it says, how it translates that. NIV says, "He then said to me, Son of man, I will cut off the supply of food." So bread meant more than just a loaf. It means the supply of food. "I will cut off the supply of food in Jerusalem. The people will eat rationed food in anxiety and drink rationed water in despair." What had happened is the nation had gotten away from the will in the kingdom of God. Their enemy, Babylon, and its king, Nebuchadnezzar, was going to come down and encompass Jerusalem and cut off the supply of food, the staff of life. You see, how many of you ever experienced when you get away from God and you get out of God's will and you move out of his kingdom and you start doing things you want to do and experiencing your kingdom, that sometimes things start going badly? That you can't get a break, you can't get a breakthrough, and it seems like your life is sieged. And at best, you get a ration. That's what happens when we step out of the will of God and out of the kingdom of God. Our life becomes sieged. Now, the staff of life, the staff of bread that Ezekiel is speaking about here, is that which helps us get where we need to go. The staff of life is that which helps us reach our destiny. You remember the story about Jacob? Jacob wrestled with an angel and the angel touched his hip and he had to walk with a staff and a limp for the rest of his life. He needed that staff to fulfill his destiny. You and I, though we may not have a literal staff, we need certain things to help us get to where we need to go. And if we don't have a staff, sometimes we won't make it. We'll fall. And so what Jesus is saying here, and we're talking about bread, and Ezekiel is mentioning as he talks about the staff of bread, what he's talking about here is the resources we need to have an abundant life. You say, you need the staff of bread. You need the bread of heaven in your life. You need the bread of God in your life to have the abundant life. And if we don't have the staff, if we don't have that which helps us and supports us and helps us get to our destiny, we can't get there. And so what Jesus is talking about, what he's sharing here and what he's wanting us to see is when he says, give us our daily bread, he's not just talking about a loaf of bread. He's talking about your resources, the things you need to have an abundant life. Now, what I want to do is put this in context. What I mean by context is a lot of times preachers preach, but they don't put things in context. They'll just pull out a particular verse and use that verse to help you think what they want you to think. But I like context. I like to see what's above it and beneath it, especially if there's something that's a little misunderstood about that passage. And this particular passage, I think there's been some misunderstanding about. So I want to put it in context. Now, it's interesting to me that Jesus instructed us to pray for our needs shortly after telling us not to. Am I right? Don't pray, don't ask Father, don't babble on. And then he says, give us today our daily bread. Let's look at Matthew 6:8. That's where that's recorded. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. So he's told us, don't be like that. Don't babble on. Don't try to convince God that he needs to do this for us. Don't babble on about it, because God already knows what we need. So if Father knows what I need, then why should I ask him? Do I need to try to convince him, talk him into it? And then later in the same chapter, now again, context is, means that's before it, and that's at that which is after it. Later in this same chapter, in verses 25 through 34, Jesus said to not worry about personal needs. He says, don't start getting worried about stuff. He said, think about sparrows. Not a sparrow falls to the ground the Father's not concerned about. And if he feeds the sparrows, he'll feed you. He'll take care of you. Think about flowers. And if flowers are so beautiful and so clothed, God will take care of you. He'll make sure that you're clothed. God will take care of you. Don't worry about this stuff. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about clothes. Don't worry about food. And he says, if you do, if you get all carried away with that kind of stuff, then you're no different than the non-believers. Let me show you this verse. This is in the same chapter, a little further down, Matthew chapter 6, verse 32. It says this, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Does Father know we need things? So what's the deal? Am I supposed to ask or not to ask? He says, don't ask, and he says, ask, and then he says, don't ask. Jesus is confused, right? Is that the deal? No, we just haven't quite yet got, because of the teachings that are kind of in the earth, we just haven't quite got what he is really trying to say to us. So what am I to do, ask or not ask? Well, if you look at the verse, you'll see there that there is no asking in that verse. Let's look at that verse again. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. What does it say? Does it say, please, if you will, can you? What does it say? Give us. Give us today our daily bread. Now, we could put an exclamation mark there. Give us. It's an emphatic statement. There is no hint to asking here. Give us. Give us today. No please there. The point is, we're not asking, we're expecting. The point is, God doesn't want us to ask. He wants us to expect. See, if we have done His will and done what we're supposed to do to bring His kingdom, God will take care of us. Now, remember what we've just prayed when we got to this point in verse 11. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your what? Kingdom come. Your will be done. Give us today our daily bread. His giving us today our daily bread, answering our prayers, answering what we need, is dynamically attached to and related to our bringing the kingdom and doing His will. And that's exactly what Jesus says as He moves through this passage in the Scripture in Matthew chapter 6. He says this in verse 33. Matthew 6:33 says this: "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The NIV Bible says, "But seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness," His will, "and all these things will be given to you as well." See, the key is seeking His kingdom and doing His will, His righteousness. And if we'll do that, you don't ask, you expect. God gives you what you need, and more than that, what you want. Most of you work. Most of you have jobs. Do you have to go ask your boss every week for your pay? And if you do, are you really asking? Are you just expecting Him to give it to you? You see, you've done what you were supposed to do. You did His will. You did your job. And now, give me my wages. My kids, when they were growing up, now Lance wasn't as bad as Bonnie. In fact, Lance would get Bonnie to do it sometimes for him. But they would come to me and say, "Dad, give us our wages." Now, the only problem was if they hadn't done what they were supposed to do. And the only problem Father has with you or I of giving us anything is when we're not bringing His kingdom and we're not doing His will. If we will bring His kingdom, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," and we're doing His will, He's going to give us, because we're seeking first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to us. Is that clear? Do you see that? It's not that we got to beg or ask. It's give us. Give us what I need to bring Your kingdom. Give us what I need to do Your will. But give me what I also want. He knows what you need. He knows what you want. He knows you like nice clothes. And He'll make you prettier than a flower. Come on. He knows you want long life, and he's concerned about a sparrow's life. Come on. He wants to heal your body. He knows what you need before you ask it. He's already thought about it. Every day He's thinking about what you need. And the only problem is we're not bringing His kingdom and we're not doing His will. And that hinders our prayers. Now, I want to make certain that we don't think that I'm saying we tell God what to do. You know, we don't go around bossing Father. Give me this right now. It ain't going to work. But if your child does what you've asked him to do, you desire to bless that child. You'll find ways to bless them. And it's not, "Oh God, I'm just this little maggot." Have I ever told you my maggot story? We were at a men's retreat, and I was the last speaker. And just before me on this Saturday morning, just before I was to speak, this guy got up there, and obviously he was attached to pornography pretty heavily at one time. And he got up there talking about that, and he started talking about how he was nothing but a maggot, and all of us men were nothing more than maggots. And now I've got to follow this, okay? We're at the end of this retreat, and I'm having to follow this guy talking about how we're no more than maggots. Now, buddy, I had a problem with being a maggot. Because my Bible says, I am a child of God. My Bible says, come on now, that I am a joint heir with Christ. That means what He's got, I got. Come on. Yeah. I am no maggot, buddy. And I did. I got up there and I got beyond that real fast. We just left that behind. But I want you to know you're not a maggot. You don't go begging. Speak to that mountain and tell that mountain to be plucked up and cast into the sea. Come on now. Help me a little bit here. Jesus never asked, Lazarus, come forth.
That's right.
Yeah. And the only thing that will ever hinder God from doing what we ask or what we need or what we desire or what we speak is that we're not doing the kingdom and we're not doing His will. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth. Give me. You got that? I like that. I saw that. I come out here. Lord, I got something now. I've worked hard this week. I've been to hospitals. I've hung screens on the thing. I have worked hard for the kingdom this week. Give me. You see, you don't have to ask if you're doing the kingdom and doing His will, because He wants to bless us. Which takes me to my next point. Father loves to give. Oh, He loves to give. I don't think we understand how desperately Father cares about our needs. What's happening? I don't think we understand. I've got it up here. It sounds like it's not out there. I don't think we understand exactly how desperately He wants to give us what we want and what we need. Father showed us how much He wants to bless us through Jesus. Concerning simple things. Concerning ordinary day-to-day things that maybe we wouldn't think are spiritual. But were just blessings. Just nice things that God did for people. Let me give you a couple examples. Do you remember when Jesus turned the water into wine? You remember that one? Now, was that wine really necessary? Was that wine spiritual? But God cared about those people at that wedding. And He could do something for them. And He did. You see, that's the way He does stuff. Now, remember when He miraculously paid Peter's and his taxes? Remember he got the coin out of the fish mouth? How many of you have ever miraculously just had money appear? You know, maybe you just stuck your hand in your pocket and there was a $20 bill in there. How in the world did that get it? Anything like that ever happen to you? Sure, there you are. It's just miraculously things will happen. Turns water into wine. You know, money just comes from the most strange places. Yeah. You know? Remember when Jesus would just take little children and hold them and bless them? You know, Jesus didn't have an age of accountability. I don't know if I need to say this, but Jesus didn't have an age of accountability. Suffer little children and forbid them not to come to me. If your little child wants to come and have communion, if your little child wants to come and pray, if your little child wants to come and be water baptized, suffer them not. He picked them up and He just blessed them. He didn't have to do that. You know, Jesus did stuff like that. He fed 5,000 people. Now look, these people were not starving. These people had enough money to stay out of work that day. Right? They weren't starving. Neither were they destitutes and poor. He just wanted to take them to lunch. He just wanted to do something nice for them. Just feed them. He didn't have to do that. He just does stuff because that's the way God's heart is just to do stuff for people when they're seeking His kingdom, when they're doing His will. Those people were out there seeking the kingdom. They were out there trying to learn about the things of God. And He says, let's just have a big party. Let's just feed everybody. See, Jesus cares. Remember when Jesus was interested in and healed all those seemingly destitute and worthless people? They weren't even seeking the kingdom. But because He prayed for them, because He spoke to devils and told devils to come out, because He had been seeking the kingdom and doing the Father's will, those things had to obey Him. And God is that way. Now, we are aware of the deity of Christ. We are aware that He is the Son of God. But you know how Jesus referred to Himself? Son of man. The Son of man. I'm the Son of man. In other words, I'm human. Now, I believe in this passage, give us today our daily bread. Jesus is desperately attempting to show you and I how to increase our answered prayers. How to really pray. I believe He's releasing here a tremendous secret to having our prayers answered. I believe that we can tremendously raise the level of answered prayers by seeking His kingdom and doing His will. And I hope you're seeing that. I believe that was the secret of His success in prayer. As He's talking here about prayer, He mentions the kingdom before. He mentions, give us today our daily bread. He mentions the kingdom afterwards. At the end of it, seek first the kingdom and God will take care of all these other things for you. How many realize that the passion of Jesus was the kingdom? Was it? I've told you that before. I want to repeat that because I really want us to get that. That was His passion. That was His passion. Jesus sought the kingdom first. Do you believe that? If He told you and I to seek first the kingdom, don't you think that He would first seek the kingdom too? He sought the kingdom first. Nobody would argue with me about Jesus seeking the kingdom and that He had a passion for the kingdom. Now listen, no one ever prayed like Jesus prayed. Help me a little bit. No one ever had the success that Jesus had in prayer. But no one ever sought the kingdom like Jesus sought the kingdom. There is a dynamic attachment between answered prayer and seeking the kingdom and doing His righteous will. If we do those two things, it's give us. It's not please. It's give us. Give us today our daily bread. When Jesus said give us, things happened. Did they not? Things happened. Water was made into wine. Storms ceased their howl. Blinded eyes were opened. The lame walked. The dead became alive. Water became concrete to walk upon. Demons yelled and screamed as they left. Fish and loaves were multiplied. Why? Because He first sought the kingdom of God. See, give us today our daily bread has a dynamic attachment with doing what we're supposed to do to bring His kingdom to earth as it is in heaven and to do His will on earth as He desires in heaven. If your prayers are not being answered, I would suggest to you one of the first things you look at is, are you doing God's will? Where are you as far as bringing His kingdom? What are you doing to enhance the kingdom of God on earth? In your orbit, in your earth, in your gay, and where you go, do you bring the kingdom? I said this last, your kingdom come, your will be done. And we've talked about these things in the past, so I can't go back and rehearse them. But the word earth there is gay, and it means that which we orbit in. It's our earth. It's the land that we cultivate. It's where we are. It's what orbits to us and what we orbit around. There's a gravitational pull in an orbit. That's why it orbits. Let me tell you, people that orbit to me come into the kingdom. You will not get around me and not feel the pull of the kingdom of God. It's impossible. It cannot happen. I am light. I don't have to try to be. I am light. I am salt. I don't have to try to be. I am salt. And what gets around me is coming into the kingdom of God. If you orbit to me, you're coming in. Now let me tell you, you're that way too. And wherever you go, and whoever you affect, and whoever gets around your life has got to be salted and got to be lit, and has got to feel that drawing power. And no man comes to Jesus, he said, unless the Father draw him. So you got to think about it. Jesus didn't ask. He expected. He had done what he needed to do to bring the kingdom. He had done God's will. He had done it righteously. And all he did was say it. And it happened. It says, another point is, give us today our. It's not give us today my. It's give us today our. There's plurality in this entire prayer. It's our Father. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us. Lead us. Deliver us. See, I can talk to Father about me, but I'm supposed to talk to Him about you too. Or you also. Not just two of you. All of you. I am to talk to about Him about our daily bread. Because what you get greatly determines what I get. In a very real way. But what I get can determine what you get. And I need to pray for you, and you need to pray for me. Give us our. Give us today our daily bread. The perfect prayer will cause us to think and pray for the needs of others. I can pray for your health. I can pray for your financial needs. And it's going to happen. Hear me. If I'm in the kingdom, if I'm doing His will, and if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do to bring His kingdom, God's going to answer my prayers for you. If He didn't, then I wouldn't be a joint heir with Christ. Christ would be way superior. Now you got to hear me right. Okay, I need to take a minute here. Joint heirs. What does that say to you? Paul says that we are joint heirs of Christ. Joint heirs. What does that mean? Okay, I'm not trying to be blasphemous here. I'm trying to, in this particular, yes, He is Jesus. He is the Son of God. Yes, yes, He is on the throne. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But if I'm a joint heir, what He's got, I've got. And if I'm doing it right, what I say is going to happen. And what you say is going to happen. Did I make that clear? I know I about got out there too far. I just want to make certain you understand what I just tried to say. See, He is our Father. He wants to give us our daily bread. And if I am doing what I'm supposed to do in the kingdom, I can pray for you just like Jesus prayed for you, would pray for you. And it would happen just like if Jesus prayed it. Our Father. See, we should have a confidence when we pray. Confidence to expect. Now, I want to wind up, and I'm circling. I'm not landing yet, but I'm circling. Spiritual bread. I need to talk about this. Because there is this other dimension of bread other than the natural. Jesus gave us this natural picture of bread, the staff of life. But there is a spiritual bread too that Jesus taught. And we must include in our talk and our teaching today. There's spiritual bread. So I want to read, if you're there in John, you have your Bibles open, John chapter 6, I'm there now. And I really want you to read along with your Bible with me, if you have your Bible open. Of course, it will be on this little tiny screen behind me. 6:48 says, I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread. I like that. They were looking at Jesus, and he says, but here is the bread. Here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They didn't understand, did they? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of who? The Son of Man. This human aspect of him, not the Son of God, but the Son of Man, the human aspect of him. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, the one that Daniel talked about, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Now, don't take it down yet. I want to emphasize verse 53 one more time. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless... Would you say unless back to me? Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But then verse 54 says, whoever eats of it and drinks of it has eternal life. Now we understand the physical needs of the body. We understand that our soul and our body have physical needs. We understand that Father knows those needs and He wants to provide those needs. We understand that. But just as our soul and our physical bodies have physical needs and soulish needs, so does our spirit. Your spirit, you are a tripartite being. You are a spirit. You have a soul and a body. But basically your base part is your spirit. Your life is your spirit. Now, my spirit needs bread. It needs the staff just as does my physical body. If you don't have that bread, if you don't have that spiritual bread and you partake of it daily, give us today our daily bread, you become weak. If you imagine how weak you get after 2 or 3 days of fasting and you go 2 or 3 days without partaking of the Son of Man, then your spirit becomes weak. It is vitally important that we understand this. Now, the Jews didn't understand it. Do we? Do we? I wonder sometimes because I see such weak Christians. I see people so weak in their faith. They don't pray. They seem to be encompassed about all the time by Nebuchadnezzar. And you know, they always sieged in their life. They can't seem to get a breakthrough. They can't seem to get out of the things that are holding them back. And I wonder, do we really understand how important it is to eat today and every day of Jesus? Now, I want to say something. And, I hope he can hear it. See, eternal life is not dependent upon a prayer to receive Jesus. Now, us preachers make it sound that way. But eternal life is not dependent upon a prayer to receive Jesus. Eternal life is dependent upon our partaking of His body and His blood. He said, unless you eat my body and you drink my blood, you have no life in you. A prayer may get you started. But friend, hear me. We have got to partake of Him. We've got to ingest Him into our spirit. Just as your body chews food and ingests food and drink, your spirit must ingest Him, His whole life, all of Him, if your spirit is to have eternal life. It's that vital and it's that important. Unless, He said, unless we eat His flesh and unless we drink His blood, we have no life in us. The picture he gave to us was through communion. The bread. He, in the upper room, he broke bread and he says, "Take it, eat it, that's my body." You know, and I always want to emphasize that. You know, you don't understand. Eat this. You got to eat this. If you don't eat this, you have no life in you. This is my body. Eat. I want you to hear him. I want you to make sure you get, eat him. He wants you to eat his body and drink his blood. Because if you don't understand this, and you go away not understanding, there's no life in you. It's that vital that we impart him and take him into us, partake of him, into our being, into our spirit. If it doesn't, if you don't do that, you're just playing a game. Right. You're going through a religious thing and it don't mean anything. Stay home and watch the ball game or something. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Come here. At least maybe we can start feeding you. Don't do that. Don't. But it's that vital that we partake of him. Unless. See, he is the bread of heaven. Manna was good. But manna didn't get them eternal life. They still died in the wilderness. Jesus said, "But if you'll eat me and partake of me, listen, you'll have eternal life." And he gave us communion. That's a picture of it. The body and the blood of Christ. And you've got to do that. And when you receive communion, you've got to see the picture that you're doing. Even though it's a physical thing, you've got to see in your spirit that you are partaking of him and that you're drinking of him. All that his blood did for you, you are receiving it. All that his body did for you, you are receiving it into your spirit so that your spirit can have life. But there's other ways of partaking of Christ as well. I partake of him through prayer. My spirit prays. And I have communion with him. I partake of him with prayer. I partake of him through the reading of his word. He's the bread of life. This is the word of God. I partake of that. I eat that. I pray and I read his word. I fast. I shut my body off from food. And I let my mind and my spirit and my soul just feast on him. I fast. I praise God. I partake of him through my praise. You'll never see me standing there, just standing there. Because I want to praise him. Because I want to partake of him. I worship him. And these are ways that we partake of him. Just as well as communion does, these other things do as well. I praise him. I worship him. I read his word. I partake of him. But then there's one more that I want to mention and then I'll close. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. So let's put it up there. For we being many are one bread. Now who's the bread here? Your bread. For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Because we've eaten of him and partook of him, then now we are eatable. We provide something for others to feast on. We provide something for people to eat also. For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. We're bread. Now, we cannot truly partake of the life of Christ if we will not partake of one another. You are his body. I cannot truly partake of Jesus if I isolate myself from the body of Christ. I need as much fellowship as I can possibly handle. Sometimes I wonder if I haven't overdone it. And I know sometimes you feel that way. You've gorged on fellowship and you need a little time alone. You need to fast a little bit. And that's understandable. But to partake of him correctly, you've got to eat of one another. You need fellowship with people, fellowship with the saints, because you cannot truly partake of him unless you partake of people. You cannot truly love him, help me, if you don't love people. How can you say you love God who you've not seen and you hate people who you have seen? You can't do one without the other. You're bread to me. I partake of you every week. I partake of you all during the week. I eat of your life, and you give me substance. You give me strength. Because of you, I'm strong. And it should be that way in the body of Christ. Upon this thought, I want to make sure that we understand that we are totally dependent upon Father. As we speak the words, give us today our daily bread, we are acknowledging the fact that it comes through Him. We are acknowledging the fact that He's got to somehow be involved in our getting what we need to get to the destinies that He's given to us. We realize that He is Father and that He will give us our daily provisions. Every person will need Father at some point in your life. Now, maybe you don't know Jesus today. You don't know that which I'm talking about. You've never partook of Him. You've never eaten of that bread of life. And your life is so encompassed about, and you can't get a breakthrough, and you can't get a break. I so encourage you today to see if you're in the kingdom. And if you're in the kingdom, what are you doing to bring it to earth? Are you doing His will? He has a will for your life. And His will always bring the kingdom. Those two are always connected. You cannot be doing His will and not bringing the kingdom. And if you're in the kingdom, you're going to be doing His will. What are you doing? What is your life made up of? Of what is your life made? What are you doing to bring the kingdom of God to heaven, from heaven to earth? What are you doing to do His will? So to end this lesson with this thought, the most amazing thing about all this is that Father has a desire beyond my ability to orate it or anyone's that I've ever heard ability to orate it to give us our daily bread, to give us what we need. He loves us beyond words. There are no words that can express to you how much Father loves you and wants to give you what you need and what you want. There are no words. But as true as I know that that is, I know that there are hindrances. And I know that the hindrance of that is not doing the kingdom. And not doing His will. That blocks Him being able to bless our lives. So my encouragement to you today is that to partake of the bread of life. You to come into the kingdom of heaven. And you to allow God to fill your being so that you can become something that others can partake of. Produce fruit that others can eat. Produce a life that can bring strength to others. And if you're not doing that, then you're missing what God has for you. And you're hindering your prayers from being answered, and you're hindering what God wants to do in your life. Let's pray. Father, my prayer right now is that you will let every person here know what they need to do in this dimension to bring the kingdom to earth and to bring your will. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, you'll touch lives, you'll touch minds and souls and spirits, and that you'll allow us to partake of you. And the Lord, right now, I know that there are people right here, right now, that are saying, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in the kingdom. I don't know what His will is for me. I do. I feel besieged. I feel like my life is just encompassed about. I can't get a breakthrough. Father, I pray you show them right now that they need to eat of you. They need to eat your body. They need to drink your blood. They need to ingest you into their spirits and allow you to become King of Kings and Lord of Lords in their lives. Put your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'm not going to ask you to come up here. I'm not. I don't think that's a part of what we need to do today. But you would say, I am that person. I am like that. I really don't know what God's will is for me. I really don't know what I'm supposed to do in the kingdom. But I so want to. I want my life to be abundant. I know Jesus came to give me an abundant life. And I so want that. And I'm willing right now to lift my hand and say, God, just bless my life. I want to know what it is that I want to do, what you want me to do in the kingdom of heaven. And I want to do it. If that's you, would you slip your hand up for me? I see your hands. I see hands. Good, 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 good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, right now, for those that raise their hands, Lord, I know you want to do that more than you want anything. So Lord, this day, this very day, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll touch these hearts and these lives and you'll show them exactly how they began entering into the kingdom of heaven and climbing up into an ascending place with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.